Good afternoon. It's Daily Devotion time. This is episode 168. It's great to be together. It's great to be able to open up God's Word and see what He has to say for another day. So we're turning back to the Gospel of Matthew and continuing our walk through the Sermon on the Mount. So if you've got your Bible with you, we're going to be turning to Matthew chapter 5 and looking at 17 to 20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law, until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is rich and true and pure and holy, that it is food for the soul, drink for the thirsty. And we pray that you would help us to grow in our love of Christ, grow in service, grow in appreciation, grow in devotion, that God, you would use it to nourish us and feed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last couple of daily devotions, we've been looking at the Gospel of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, and we've seen that Jesus is teaching what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. What sort of life you will live, what you'll expect, what it looks like to follow Jesus as a citizen of God's kingdom. And we've seen that Jesus is introducing his sermon. If you were to take the whole Sermon on the Mount like a sermon, this would be part of the introduction. And this first section here on the law is the end, or the first, I shouldn't say the first, this is the end of the conclusion. So he states the Beatitudes, he sets the context of the worldview of the citizen. Then he explains the life of the citizen in the salt and the light. And now he explains why it is that the law matters, how the law functions for the citizen of the kingdom of God. You see, for the Jew, the law was at the heart of everything they believed. The law was at the heart of everything they taught and the way they lived their life. It was at the heart, or it was meant to have been, at the heart of their entire religious, their entire empire, their entire kingdom. Everything was to be structured and maintained and controlled by the law. And so now, Jesus, as he announces this kingdom, some people might have thought, well, Jesus is announcing a new kingdom, and therefore the old kingdom laws no longer apply. Is Jesus suggesting that we do away with the law? And that, I mean, to be fair, wasn't really a question that was only relevant to them, was it? Because it's still a question which rages today. I'm not sure what context you're in, but in my context here in New Zealand, it's very, very, very common in the churches for people to say the only law that now applies to us are those that are repeated in the New Testament. That was a refrain which I heard commonly from people growing up, and it's something that I still continue to bump into. So they'll take the Ten Commandments and they'll say, if the Ten Commandments are ratified by Jesus and the apostles, then they're still in force. And so the Sabbath is done away with, and other things are done away with, because, well, it's only really the law of Christ that matters, is the argument. Well, Jesus would disagree, and we're going to see that. Jesus would disagree, but This is something that really matters. Our understanding of the law really matters, because we think in the Old Testament of passages like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of evil, but whose delight is the law of the Lord. And the psalmist wasn't thinking about Christ's law, was he? He was thinking about primarily the Decalogue, the five books of Moses. But, sorry, the Decalogue being the Ten Commandments, the five books of Moses he was thinking of, and probably the prophets and some of the history books and things like that. He was thinking about portions of the Old Testament. So, if the blessed man, if the one who God honors is he who delights in the law and meditates upon it day and night, how does this all apply to us? What does this mean for the new kingdom subjects? How do we understand the law? How do we understand grace? Now that's a subject which is way bigger than what we can deal with in 15 minutes. But this passage gives us a few hints, a few pointers which lead us in a direction. And we have to understand it in two ways. Firstly, we have to understand how this passage, how the law applies to those who are wanting to enter the kingdom of God. And then we have to understand how this law applies to those who are inside the kingdom of God. Those are two different categories of people, those who want to enter and those who are already inside. And Jesus states three things in this passage. Firstly, he states he didn't come to get rid of the law. Verse 17, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, but rather I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So firstly, he states I've not come to get rid of them, but I've come to fulfill them. Then he states, verse 19, whoever makes these laws easier and whoever doesn't promote these laws, he's least in the kingdom of God. But whoever does them and helps other people to do them is great. So that's point two. So point one, I haven't come to abolish them, I've come to fulfill it. Point two, anyone who keeps it is great and anyone who doesn't is least. And then lastly, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and scribes. Remembering that the Pharisees and scribes were the epitome of righteousness in the time of Jesus. Everyone looked to them, specifically the Pharisees, as very faithful law keepers. They obeyed the law through and through, to every dot and tittle, even tithing on their herbs. So, what's Jesus saying for us? How can we understand these three statements? I haven't come to abolish, but to fulfill. You're the least if you don't keep it. You're the greatest if you keep it. And you have to be more righteous than the Pharisees if you want to enter the kingdom of God. So I said there's these two categories. There's those who are trying to enter, and there are those who are inside. So what does this passage mean for those who are wanting to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, Christ hasn't removed the standard, has he? No, he says, I have not come to abolish the law. He hasn't come to remove the law so that you don't have to keep the law, so that the law no longer matters. No, the law remains in force. It's never been removed. It remains in force. And if you want to enter, you have to keep it perfectly. That's Jesus' point when he says, you will never enter unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Effectively, he's holding up the bar of perfection. And he's saying, if you want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, you have to keep the law perfectly. Now, for those who are wanting to enter, that's a terrifying teaching, isn't it? And it is. If you must keep that yourself, if it relies upon you and me to do that, we all know we're damned. This is what makes me, when I speak to J-dubs and Mormons at the door, this is what makes me say to them, I'm a Christian. And the reason I'm a Christian is because I know I can't keep the law. And so I would fail and die in your religion. But that's not what we believe, is it? No, because Jesus says, and this is very important, Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. you must have more righteousness than the Pharisees and the scribes. What's he saying? You see, Jesus didn't come to get rid of the law. He came to do the law, to complete the law, to fulfill the law. So Jesus kept the law perfectly. His righteousness did exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. And therefore, our only hope of entrance is faith. It's coming to Christ and saying, Christ, I believe you kept the law for me and died that I might have life. You see, Jesus is setting the bar of entrance as himself, saying, I didn't come to get rid of the law, I came to do it. And of course, the point is, so that you don't have to enter the kingdom of God, you do not have to keep the law. And that is the most freeing reality we can ever experience. I can still vividly remember the day when I discovered that grace meant that I don't have to keep the law. And it was like a burden rolled off my back. That God loved me because he chose to love me. I didn't have to earn his favor. I didn't have to earn his pleasure. You see, my righteousness and your righteousness will never exceed the Pharisees and the scribes. Our only hope is that Jesus's is. His righteousness is exceeding the Pharisees and the scribes. And he gives it freely to us. But notice the implication then for those who are inside the kingdom of heaven. So you come to that realization. You trust in Christ to be your faithful law keeper, to be the one who fulfills the law, and the one who dies for your sin. And then we notice that this passage has implications for those of us who are inside the kingdom of heaven. For Jesus says, you are least if you do not follow the law, and yet you are great if you teach them and do them. You see, the fascinating thing about a proper understanding of law and grace is that we're set free from the demands of the law. We're set free from the demands of the law in an attempt to make ourselves righteous. We will never exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Yet, when we've come to put our faith and trust in Christ, the wonderful thing is, God says to us, I have fulfilled the law in Christ. Now blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates upon it day and night. You see, that the mark of a person who has trusted in God and who has trusted in Christ to complete the law for him, the mark is not that he goes and lives how he wants, that she goes and she lives in adultery and does whatever she wants because the law's been satisfied. That's not the mark of a mature Christian. The mark of a mature kingdom citizen is one who recognizes that Christ has fulfilled the law perfectly, recognizes that the law has been kept, and so seeks to follow in her Savior's footsteps. You see, what we see in this passage is the same thing we've seen in the last two passages in the Sermon on the Mount. It points to Christ as our Savior, but it also points to Christ as our example. You see, there is no room in the Christian faith for a hyper-grace position. If you don't know what hyper-grace is, you can Google it. But basically, I've been set free by grace, so I don't have to keep the law. I don't have to follow a certain pattern of life. There's just no room for that. We are called to holiness. Be perfect, Peter says, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so Jesus says, I fulfilled the law. Now you are great if you keep it and teach others to do likewise. Well, may you be blessed to believe in Christ as your law keeper and follow him faithfully. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, glorious truth that the law has been satisfied. The demands of the law are done. And now, in faith, we pray that you'd help us to walk in it, honoring our Saviour and our Father in heaven. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me for another daily devotion. It's been great to be together. I'll see you back here, same place, same time tomorrow for number 168 as we think about anger. See you then.